Today's reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 12. This can be found on page 777 of the Church Bibles. That's Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 12, on page 777. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you what as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. Each of us will follow the stubbornness of his evil heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I thought I'd start today with a mystery object. Now, you've got to study this a bit carefully, and I'm just wondering if anyone's got any idea of what this picture is of.
Observatory.
Anyone else? I will explain in a minute, but no one's got any other clues.
TV camera.
It's a TV camera. That was an interesting. Where's the TV camera, Matthew?
It's that dark room with the lights on it.
Yeah. So, there we are. So, anyone else got any other clues about? Can you see any words on there that might? BBC One. BBC One. That's an interesting clue, isn't it? So, why does it say BBC One? No, well, see this. So I'm going to just give you a bit of history. So this was what they called the Noddy camera. Now, it was called Noddy because this camera could go around and point at any of these objects which were on the left-hand side. So you see, one says BBC One, and it's actually a clock. And the other says test transmission or something like that. Another says, do you know when you used to get that fault thing that came up? Temporary fault used to go on for ages, didn't it? British Rail should use that today. And lots and lots of these different cards, which were actually had logos that you saw on the screen. And this Noddy camera, as they used to have in presentation, this is only back in the 70s and 80s, right? We're not talking about that long ago. This is not prehistory. Actually used to go around and show you all these things. And in the middle there, can you see? Pardon? Yes. Now, I'm going to show you now a better picture of it. That was the BBC One logo. There we are. And what the globe there actually is something about the same, slightly larger than a tennis ball that used to rotate with a motor. And there was a light inside it, so it used to shine outside. And then at the back, you can see there was a concave mirror, and this globe used to rotate in front of the concave mirror, and there was, of course, a light in the whole thing, and that shone out, and the camera looked at that, and they put added a bit of colour to it, and that was what you saw for a long time on your screens, until it was replaced, effectively, as everything is these days, by a computer. But the key thing about the BBC One logo is that it wasn't like the ones on ITV of a fixed duration. You could go to it for 5 seconds, or you could go to it for a minute, or you could go to it for 2 minutes, or sometimes longer. And it was something that you could go to for a period of time when you were listening to the announcer or they were waiting for something to be ready. Now, do you remember what we had before this logo? This is, I mean, obviously, there are some people who can't even remember this logo. but if you could remember this logo, you've got a chance. Can you remember what came before it?
The Potter and various other...
Yes. Films. Very good. There were a whole... But you remember the Potter one? I mean, maybe there's a clue there. But it's very interesting that there were a series of little films that they used to put on. And they said, as you'll see on this, interlude on them, right? And you used to, I can see some smiles here because you remember it very warmly, don't you? And there was a farmer, wasn't there? Do anyone remember any others of them? It's very interesting. This is the famous one. This everybody remembers the Potter.
We never seem to finish it.
You can spoil everything, can't you? Yeah, that's right. So, but the Potter's Wheel was very iconic, and maybe it was because I was a child at the time. I don't know. It just kind of was very interesting to me to see how the hands went on this. But I thought, just we'll have a look at it. Now it's quite long, so I'm going to talk whilst we watch it, Here we are. Now, I'm just going to leave it on there, but you can look up, but listen to me, because there's no sound. Some of you can remember the music as well, I would have thought. As a child, you know, I remember bringing home the clay creation. Now, this is not mine. This is Matthew's, actually. This is something that Matthew made, which is a skull. That's obviously how Matthew saw himself. You can see it later. And we'll all... Okay, well, the challenge was to make a skull, but the point is that he made a skull and then painted it. And we're all used to the idea of making things, and, of course, lots of clay creations are not pots. But I was fascinated by this idea that you could put clay onto a turntable and create something of it. Now, I have to say, you know, just to watch this, the way that the... Potter is able to take something to change it from being flat to being tall to being wide. It's quite amazing to watch this. And as a child, I have to say, I was fascinated by this. You're thinking, was I that old? Well, the answer was this actually did, you know, was in history in the 60s, and I remember seeing this many, many times. Now, I was so fascinated by this. Now, you've never, ever been naughty children in your lives, have you? No, never, ever. And I always worry about this idea of when you can leave a child alone at home, because it seems to me they're safer when they're younger, because I can remember being a teenager or young teenager, and I was in my element of, you know, doing things I probably shouldn't have been doing at home. And one day, I have to be honest with you, I did do an experiment with plasticine on the family record player. So fascinated by what you could do. I can see you're amused by the idea about it, but it is actually true. I don't think I've ever told my parents that, although they may have actually been aware. This guy who's doing this is a guy called Georges Aubertin. I think he was French. And actually, as Neil says, the interesting thing is he never actually finishes it. And what you see is this pot moving from one thing to another. Sometimes he uses his fingernails. You know, he actually uses his fingernail and he creates those ridges in the side. And then a few minutes later, he's taking them off again. So sometimes it ends tall. Sometimes he's bringing the lip out there. Then he'll add more ridges on the side at some point. If you must have been Obviously, Neil remembers it as well, because he said it before I even said that. So does anyone else remember this not being finished? No? Well, now you look at it now. You watch. He never, ever, ever completes anything. Now, is that a picture of God? I don't think so. But so my first picture of God that we get from the potter is the idea that what we are is God's work. And I'm going to ask, well, Ian, as he's here, perhaps you could put that up there. But we have the concept of the potter and making this thing, which is us, us as individuals, us as a church. And we're being made by him. It is his work. And sometimes we think we're our own work, aren't we? I had a colleague once, and he was referred to, he said he was a self-made man and he worshipped his creator. You know, sometimes we are like that, aren't we? And actually we need to realise that we are not made by ourselves. God is making us, and he is making us into what he wants us to be. And this passage in Jeremiah, perhaps we could turn to that, page 777, good for Boeing fans, that actually we are clay in God's hands. And each of us are being made by his hands very intimately. That's the thing you notice about this, isn't it? That actually every single mark on there is made by his fingers, imprinting on us. And this, you know, what the thing that fascinated me as a child was this rotational symmetry that you get on a potter's wheel. And it's quite interesting because you can take any shape almost and rotate it round, and it actually becomes something quite lovely. But every single ridge in this, every single nook, is made by very, very, very intimate contact. And I wonder if we really are aware of the intimacy of God's fingers on our lives. I want you to just think about that for a moment. It's very, very, very intimate. What we are is because of who he is. And I think, as you know, we're very British, aren't we? Very restrained. We like to not show our feelings too much. But actually, as we look around this morning, I wonder if we can look around. Just you can glance if you like, but perhaps later on, look around and actually see the beauty in what God is creating in our friends, our neighbours here today. He is doing a beautiful work with us. But just like Georges Aubertin here, it's not static. It's not made us and left us alone. He's actually continuing to work on us. And we are being changed. And sometimes that's for a season in our life. Sometimes there's another reason. But he is changing us. He's changing us. We're a work in progress. And so the second word that I wanted to put up today is we are being continually transformed and changed. This work here, finished now, this work shows that God's hands are not only just working for us for an instant and then setting us out into the world. He's continually got his hands on us and changing us to make us something special. A famous author and speaker on Thought for the Day, who's a friend of mine, is called Ridian Brooke. I don't know if you've ever heard him on the radio. He's a lovely man. He actually came from an advertising background. He is an author. He's a scriptwriter for plays, and he's a screenwriter for several films. And he says in his work, many, many times you do something and then it seems to fail. It doesn't go anywhere. And actually, his message is always that nothing is wasted. Do you think that with your own life, that nothing is wasted? Do you know the things that go wrong, the things, the tragedies, the disappointments, and we think, oh, somehow it's a failure. No, he says, and this is true in this passage, isn't it, that nothing is wasted. The potter takes the pot and he reforms it, he reworks it, he takes that clay, he doesn't throw it away. He reworks it into something else. And is God reworking in your life today? Is he transforming you into something which is actually going to be more beautiful, more useful, more ready for him? So if we think about God, it's God's work, and God's transforming power in our lives. His hands around the outside of this pot, not just once, but all the time. But then there's a question, isn't there, about what are we for? What's the purpose of this pot that he's made? And this may sound silly, but when Matthew did this, I think he was a sculptor. Not everything you make out of clay is a pot. I mean, it sounds silly, but it's true, isn't it? Potters don't make skulls, at least I don't think so. Sculptors make skulls. And you think of all the other things that were made out of clay. I'm going to give you some examples. For example, they used to make tablets out of clay to write on. So they'd make a tablet and they'd write on it, and when it's set, as this stuff we'll be doing later, the writing was impressed upon it, and we all know that there are many ancient texts that are seen this way. So what is the pot for? What is a pot for? When you go to buy a pot, what do you buy it for? To look just nice on the shelf, or do we do something else with a pot? And usually, the thing that strikes you about George, I'm looking up there, but when you see George's hands going, he's building this centre. It's there for a reason. It's there to carry something. And we've had many people already referring to what is carried in a pot. You know, we might use a milk jug or a glass of something for water, to carry water. The point is, the pot has a purpose. You buy a pot, it is made to contain things. So I think the third thing that I think we ought to remember about the pot is it has purpose. So we've got God's work transforming us with purpose. We have a reason for our lives. So I'd like to turn, if I may, to another passage, to 2 Corinthians. And you know exactly what passage I'm going to go to. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to read, if we can, I'm going to read from verse 5. So that's on page 1160. Like a lot of biblical passages, the writers of the New International Version put the sun-like headline above, and it says, "Treasures in jars of clay," and that's what we're going to be looking at here. "For we do not preach ourselves. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay." We are jars of clay. "To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. This, then, is the purpose for each of our lives." So we are a pot. We are a pot that is to carry around the light of Jesus. That's what the potter is making us for. God on the outside shaping us, Jesus on the inside shining from us. That is the purpose of our lives. So we contain, fourth word, treasure. That's true of us as individuals, and that's true of us as a church. We are here, shaped by God's fingers, made in the way we are, to contain treasure to shine into this community here in Burr Heath. And many of you will know the Methodist Covenant Prayer, which is said every year in Methodist churches, but lots of other churches use it too. And it's a most beautiful expression of commitment to the purpose of our lives. And as I was thinking about the way to conclude this message, I was thinking these would be appropriate words. Let me just read them to you, and then let's say them together. And think about, as you hear these words, you can shut your eyes for the moment. Think about how this relates to you being a pot in God's hands. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. And before they say that prayer, these are the words that are said. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, some are difficult. Some bring honour, some bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and temporal interests. Others are contrary to both. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ, who strengthens us. Shall we say that prayer together? The words will come up on the screen. Let's say it together. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. So just remember, the pot made, transformed, continually transformed by God's hands on the outside, containing this treasure, this purpose for our lives to be light, to carry the death and the life of Jesus, the light of Jesus, to the people. Let's remember our purpose as we go forward today. Amen.